This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. I've owned Tecovas for years. I love these goddamn boots. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. That's true. I never got blisters from these things. Huge fan. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store today. Have a complimentary drink or two, which I've had, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are always at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. I can promise you that. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Jabes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work. We'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover.
Hangover.
Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay. I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution!
But it isn't, is it? Because you left, Ross. So guess what? Now it's Crime Corner.
Yeah. Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
This is Jesse. Is it Crime Corner with Jesse Wiseman or Jesse Wiseman's
it's
Crime
Corner? Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. I think that's what we've been going
okay.
with.
Okay. Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner for anyone confused on the RPR Patreon.
Yeah.
And this isn't a daytime show,
no,
right?
No.
So, you know, listen with caution, right? It's yeah. not.
There's
it's,
a lot of butt talk and pussy wussies and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly just, I guess that's a warning to get your kids out of the room. I'm not supposed to be within 50 yards of them, and I'm not sure how that translates with audio, so better safe
yeah,
than sorry.
Yeah, we'd have to check your paperwork.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Could you be 50, could like you be in their ears, just not 50 feet, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But listen, if you're listening to RPR with your kids, then let's go. Do you know what I mean? You're our people. You're our people. Your kids are cool.
child services has already showed up at your door.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You've dealt with it, so.
So you're, we don't need to tell you anything, right?
Yeah.
The boys, the drinking bros, drinking boys, are at a boy party in Georgia going to the Masters.
Mm.
Yeah, and we're happy for them.
Wait, they're leaving for golf?
The Masters, though, bro. The Masters.
Of golf?
You go to Electric Church.
Yeah.
People buy me drinks there.
What do you want me to say? Oh, they're going to Electric Church. Now you're fucking down, right?
Well, yeah.
They're doing a gay bar tour across the country. Coop's fucking in, right?
Why didn't anybody tell me about
that? Exactly. He's like, wait a minute. I could have held a boom mic, huh?
Yeah.
Anyways, we have a really, I'm going to say fun case.
Yeah. Well, there's, I mean, it's as fun as it can be.
As fun as it can be.
Fun and flirty?
Really fun and flirty.
Definitely
lots of flirting.
Okay.
Lots of flirting, right?
Yeah.
It's a classic one. Tall, hot blonde.
Oh.
And Marine sniper.
Whoa.
You guys may, I mean, listen, I remember it from the Lifetime movie, I think directed by Courtney Cox.
What?
I know.
Wait, hang on. I'm going to
look it up. It was.
They made a movie about this?
They made a movie about this. It was.
There was a 2009 documentary and there was a movie in 2012.
Yeah.
Oh.
Look at the 2012 Lifetime movie. I think it was directed by Courtney Cox, and I could be lying. Do you know what I mean? I could be lying.
I didn't know she directed.
Well, after this movie, you probably...
It was the last time.
You probably go, this is why.
Oh.
This is why. It was good, but it was interesting casting, really over the top. The documentary is very good. Give it a look-see if you're interested. What are you finding, Coop?
He seems concerned.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Look at that concerned look on his face.
Courtney Cox.
Shut up.
Yeah, it was Courtney Cox. I didn't even know that she directed anything.
Right?
They give let that... women be directors nowadays?
I know.
I thought the driving was weird.
Well,
was
no,
a wild
they,
choice,
I mean,
but...
No, they can't. But they try, huh?
Well, yeah. They do their best.
They can't even... Wouldn't you think that Barbie would be the one, huh? Anyway, what was I going to say? In this show, I need you to put a lot of clips from the Lifetime movie because it's so good.
Okay.
It's so good. It really will illustrate the emotion of this.
I'm kind of surprised by the person that they actually cast as Thomas Montgomery because that
guy.
Got
a name, Thomas Montgomery.
Oh, yeah. That,
well, oh, we got a name. Sorry.
Part of the name.
Well,
maybe we should just,
maybe we should just get into it. We'll tease it a little bit. This this case has everything we like, right?
Oh, yeah. This
early 2000s internet fun.
I was so excited to write about this case.
Coop,
I've been thinking about
brought
it for a few weeks.
This case to us and last week, and I was like, fuck, yes. It's a classic. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's one of the cautionary tales that we all probably hearken back to when we're on the internet and talking to people on the internet that we don't know. That's all we'll say, right?
The people involved with this story walked so we could run. Like, we learned a lot of the lessons that we know about dealing with strangers on the internet from cases like this.
Right.
And there's been a surprising amount. Like, when I was going through researching this, there's a handful of other cases that are similar, but they didn't end with a death.
Whoa, Coop.
So this one really did inspire me, so I started it off with, I guess you could say, like a little soliloquy or something like this.
Oh, some of your poetry?
Yeah, some of my poetry.
A soliloquy?
Thanks, Coop. Yeah. He finds any excuse to put in his poetry. Let's go.
I have to shoot
one about Nazis?
Somewhere.
I'm just joking.
No, surprisingly, it's
this
not.
This is a good one. It's a crazy ride, you guys. It's full of twists and turns, and... It's 2005. It's early 2000s, mid 2000s internet.
The best 2000s for the internet.
And there's no stolen valor. It's all real valor. If you guys care about that.
Yeah.
Technically,
yeah.
Okay, let's go.
So again, this is a completely original poem. two charlatans, both alike in dishonesty, on the internet where we lay our scene. From digital lies break to new insanity, where free porn sites make the socks of teenage boys unclean. From forth the false breasts of these Instagram hoes, a pair of star-crossed lovers cause an innocent life to be taken.
Did you write that?
It just popped into my head.
Wow. Did you write that?
Yeah. I mean,
that's incredible.
This is why.
Technically, I wrote it.
This is why.
What were you inspired by?
I know you guys are like, why is Coop on the show, though? This is
not
why.
I'm the only one with that question.
Just kidding. I'm kidding.
My parents ask me that all the time. They love the show. They hate me on the show. They're like, you guys got to cut the dead weight at some point.
Your parents are saying that to you?
Yeah.
My mom is in love with you. Not in a creep. I mean, not to be creepy, but the mom's love.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Oh yeah.
The ladies love the voice. We couldn't do it without you, bro. And then poetry.
Sure wish my mom loved me.
Gay bars?
Poetry, gay bars?
Could you be more perfect? Anyways, in the age of the internet, few things can be taken at face value. Media outlets frame stories in a manner that benefits their political agendas. Coop. Oh, it's RPR. It's almost like you knew we were going to be on the RPR feed, right? Men lie about their height or income, and overweight women take photos strictly from the neck up to hide the fact that they displace more water than a cargo ship. It was in the modern day Sodom and Gomorrah that two horny teens fell into a love triangle that would result in the death of an innocent young man.
Oh.
Tragic tale.
Oh, sorry, Coop. I mean, sorry, Joel. Joel, there's going to be a murder.
Oh, no.
Joel, I know. I know you hate it every time. And he really does secretly wish every time that, like, someone doesn't die. Well, but every time, it's Crime Corner, friend.
Yeah, we're a crime show, not a murder show. So there is a chance that we could do a crime that
we're
wasn't
gonna do
murder.
Should we do a heist sometime just for fucking old?
I think that would be awesome.
Old Twinkle Toes over here.
We could
here.
Do like the Lufthansa heist or something like that.
There's some good ones, dude.
I haven't actually seen any other true crime show that does anything but murders.
I know.
Maybe we could break out of the...
Let's try and set ourselves
apart. Well,
we
have before. Remember the...
Let's just do a fun shoplifting case.
We did one episode that wasn't a murder show. It was the one with the kid that was kidnapped forever and got away. Wait, but then someone died later. But that was the next episode.
He died later and then his brother was actually a serial killer.
Right, but on the one... we did two episodes. It was a two-parter. So that one episode, no one died. So it is possible.
And in that episode, you didn't think that maybe somebody was...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I knew it was coming.
Also, in that episode, you just kept being like, is it the kids? Is it the kids? Just do the kids? So it's like there's always something that's
sorry,
sweet.
I still have feelings.
No, I know. Sweet Joel. That's why a lot of people ask, why is Joel on the show? And I'm going to tell you why. Sweet, sweet, confused Joel is the moral compass. When you and I are being fun and flirty and laughing about some murder, Joel is over here being like,
the fuck?
What is fucking wrong with you guys? And also, what is DNA? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we have to explain a couple things to him.
I think he kind of plays,
I know what DNA is.
Plays
I just
asked,
how did
much.
The DNA get in the poop? That's the question I asked.
We can't. I can't. We can't. Which I can't do this anymore.
Joel, you know.
I cannot do this anymore. Yeah. Joel, I can't do it again. All right. By day, Thomas Montgomery, as you said, was a 46-year-old mild-mannered machinist from Clarence, New York, who taught Sunday school at his local church. By night, he was a creepy middle-aged man who enjoyed hitting on teenage girls online, as is customary for unfuckable losers in their 40s. Pro tip for the parents out there. Keep your kids off the internet, because predators treat it like DoorDash for molesting children.
Seriously, what are your feelings on your kids having any access to the internet? Like it.
So we were just talking about this because I'm trying to deal with this gaming system where I'm trying to make it so he can have access to all these games without also having access to the internet, right?
Yeah. How do you pull that off? Like I don't even like the fact that my sister lets her kids on the internet. And
oh, like, for sure.
I can't imagine any kid having access to the internet before maybe like 16.
Yeah, because my kid's a little bit anxious. So when his iPad is connected to my Apple ID and phone number, right? So it's basically just like another one of my devices. So I can see everything that he's searched, even when I go on my phone to a YouTube or Google, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the things that he's searching up is like, can you die from type 2 diabetes? What is what is bone cancer? How old are you when you get bone cancer? So he's just like, you know what I mean? He's there.
Going
so
through that, was, that stage.
It was actually a template for me to be able to be like, okay, what he's searching up are things that I need to talk to him about and quell fears about. But also, I'm never not going to have access to the things that he's searching, right?
Yeah.
And then it just turns into gaming, and then he doesn't really care, whatever. Once I tell him I can see everything, he stops searching stuff. You know what
Honestly,
I'm saying?
Honestly, I think I would rather have the birds and the bees talk with a kid than explaining bone cancer.
Bone
to
cancer
him.
And how you, know, you can get it. And exactly.
How do you
sometimes
get bone
good
cancer?
People die.
Thank you. Ask my son. he's looked it all up. But it's kind of died down once I've like kind of just been like, all I say is just like, just old people get that stuff.
Yeah.
Am I lying? Yeah.
Old.
Well, you kind of got to lie to kids about that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. They haven't, for the majority.
They haven't reached the point where they're so jaded by life that they don't care if they live or die. That's the point where you can start explaining those things to
right.
them. Right. After the depression is set in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once
so
they're like
16 Jesus years old.
Christ. Once they're like, look, how am I going to go? You know what I mean? I'll be like, could be bone cancer. You know what I mean? But he's at a place where that would be, make him scared. Right?
It's making me scared. I don't want bone cancer.
Exactly. I don't know anyone that's ever had it.
Yeah, it
Do
must
you know
be
what I
rare.
Mean? Yeah, yeah. So we've introduced our boy.
Our main character.
Our main boy.
His name's Tom.
Our hero of the story.
His name's Thomas Montgomery.
Yeah, generally
He's
goes
46.
By 46. Goes by Tom.
He
by
goes
Dave.
By Tom.
But he has an alter ego. One fateful night in the spring of 2005, as Thomas was hard at work creeping on underage girls in a gaming chat room, he had a chance encounter that would change his life. A beautiful 18-year-old girl using the screen name Tall Hot Blonde, 1L, T-A-L.
Nice.
You know, the spelling errors drive me fucking crazy.
It was the full name was probably taken, Coop. You know how this goes.
Yeah, true.
True.
The attractive young woman playfully pointed out that he was in a chat room for kids, and it was fucking gross that a middle-aged man was mingling online with minors. Which it is. It's fucking gross.
Don't you have to be 18, though, to be in those? Anyway, so it's
no,
not...
you can definitely be underage, but okay. How do you even check for the ages?
Right.
The only type of technology that I've heard about that's going to do anything about that is facial recognition, which actually... This is nerd stuff, but Grand
Please.
Theft Auto 6 is actually going to have facial recognition that's going to scan your face and make sure that you're not a child.
Now.
But there's people that also kind of look like kids. What if somebody has, you know, like a disease or a deformity that
they don't get
them
to play the fucking game.
Like a child?
Right. Or what if I took my picture from really, you know, my thing from really far away because then I look younger.
Or you just print out a picture of your mom and show it to the camera when you sign in.
That's what I was thinking. It's like getting somebody
now,
over
though,
to buy alcohol for you.
That's now.
Yeah.
When we're 2005, this was
none of that.
These
shit
were like
on.
This was the beginning. Listen, I never went into a chat room, but like, was this kind of the first way to like
you never
interact
spent any time
with
in chat rooms?
Ever?
Like even AOL Instant Messenger, mm-hmm. nothing
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
I did. It was awesome.
Oh man, me and like. Mm-mm. Me and my mom and my sister were all about that shit growing up. Spent a lot of time in chat rooms, met a lot of creepy fucking people. Learned some lessons.
I was a hippie till like way late. Like later than I should have been.
Really? Oh,
my
yeah.
screen name was ToeJam 006. So, I got kicked out of a lot of chat rooms.
I mean, that's not surprising. What's surprising is the name. Where did
That's
that
a great name though. Because it really says everything it needs to say, right? Like, you're never going to think, like, oh, who's this person, right? They're telling you.
Yeah.
Right
you know
there.
What I am.
Exactly. You know what I am. You know what I'm about. You probably know what I look like at this point, right? Just from that name.
I like the video game Toe Jam and Earl, and I like, what was the guy, 006 from James Bond?
From GoldenEye, dude.
From GoldenEye.
Sean Bean.
Ned Stark, there you go. Dies in everything that he does.
Yep.
From GoldenEye, dude.
GoldenEye, duh.
Yeah, so...
Thomas had to think fast or else risk having his secret revealed. So he went with the first lie that popped into his head. Despite appearances, he wasn't a 46-year-old pervert that was trying to hook up with underage women. He was actually a buff 18-year-old Marine that was using his creepy father's account to try and hook up with underage women.
Oh.
Which is a big difference.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
The ruse
so he's doing what we said, which was like, use your dad's account if you're not old enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Fake it till you make it.
Right.
I mean, I lie to everybody online.
Absolutely.
When I can. It's getting harder online nowadays. Generally around 26. I don't like to go too young.
Oh, I go older. I go 80. I'm 80 online. you get like it's such a different world out there. When you say you're 80.
You can catfish the older men that are about to kick the bucket,
get written into
their will.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good way to make money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd do it if I could.
They like 20
still trying to build up my feet picture business.
Yeah. What's funny is like every age group likes 20. Do you know what I mean? So,
which is weird. We've all been 20, and I was fucking insufferable at 20.
Nobody wants 20 for longer than
30.
For longer than a night, you know what I'm saying?
30 or 40 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ruse was successful, and the whirlwind romance between tall, hot blonde and Marine sniper began. I hate the screen names in this.
Tall, hot blonde.
Well, Marine sniper especially. I mean, come on.
I know.
Oh, but
anybody who knows anything should know that's bullshit.
Right.
I would think.
You would think, but same with tall hop. You know what I mean? This You have to put yourself in a mind that doesn't know what you know now, right? You have to put yourself in the world of like Toe Jam, right?
Yeah.
Toe Jam, what was it?
006.
And not because 007 was taken, huh? So
that's exactly correct.
Toe Jam 006. Like that world where you just go, whatever. Like you're not looking at, you're taking everything at face value, which is to us now insane.
Yeah.
You go tall, hot, blonde. Great. Marine sniper. Awesome. You're using your dad's account, but you're actually my age. Great. Like this is awesome.
Back in the good old days.
The good old days. The good old days.
It was so much easier
years ago, right?
We talked about the 70s being the good old days of like getting away
abducting
with
children.
Murder. Grabbing a child off the street, no bigs.
Grabbing ass.
Murdering.
Buying cigarettes from a cigarette machine in like a restaurant.
Oh my gosh, scouting. What did we call it when you had
people
buy you beer? What do we call it? Scouting?
What?
Remember when you stand outside and you're like looking for someone that you think is like old enough and cool enough
that will buy you the
someone's is screaming out the name. Probably Ruben knows it because he's done it.
Yeah.
He's done it for kids before, probably.
Dude, but that was the coolest shit. I used to love. So
did you ever do it for kids? Oh. I never have.
No, that's what's fucked up. I actually feel bad about it because I look like the kind of guy that would buy drugs for kids. And maybe in another life I would, but I do, I kind of put off that vibe. That
yes, if you walked in, if I was 16, 17, which is when I was like looking for people to do that, like if you walked in, I would be like, okay.
That dude will do it.
Yeah, you would.
He'll do it.
I had tons of people do that for me when I was growing up,
for sure.
Mostly homeless people.
Right.
You know, throw them $5, they'll go get you a bottle of Bacardi 151, right. No problem. But yeah, anytime that I've been asked, I'm like,
Bacardi 151.
Ugh.
How did I forget
Steel
about
Reserve.
How did I even forget that that existed? Go ahead.
Dude, when I met Coop,
you blacked out when you drank it.
When I met Coop, he was drinking Steel Reserve tall cans all the time.
So were we, right?
I never drank Steel Reserve.
Oh.
It was Mickey's 40s for me.
Oh, you were like rich? Sorry.
Yeah, goddamn.
Sorry, price. We met you when you were rich.
They were the same price and there was more alcohol.
Fancy pants. No, there's by far more
alcohol. No, it's higher
than Steel Reserve.
Alcohol content, I think.
No, I meant
amount. Steel Reserve, it's like.
I still can't count.
It's like
I couldn't 9%. Count then. It was just bigger. So.
Oh, yeah, shit.
No, more, the alcohol content in Steel Reserve is higher.
It's like 9% or something like that.
Yeah, it's 9%.
It tastes fucking terrible. Until you get drunk.
It tastes fine to me.
I still love it.
So you have done it? What's the story?
No, I haven't bought it for kids. I've been approached by kids a handful of times to buy liquor for them. Funny thing is, I bought cigarettes for people that were underage. I was fine with that.
I would do that.
It doesn't feel as bad for some reason, but yeah,
right,
the booze,
because they're not going to like smoke a cigarette, get into a car, and like kill somebody, right?
Or go and knock up their girlfriend or something like that,
right?
We need less teenage mothers in the world.
Oh, I love that about you, Coop. That you were like, everybody. I thought the story was going to be like, so many people did it for me, so I'm not doing it for any of those motherfuckers, right? Like, I like that.
Yeah, kind of an alcoholism gatekeeper, I guess you could say.
Sure, pull the ladder up behind you, huh? So, Tall Hot Blonde was, as her name implied, a young, tall, and attractive blonde from West Virginia named Jessie.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
she even had the pictures to prove it. She played softball, I think, too. It wasn't me. She even had the pictures to prove it. To support his ongoing lie, Thomas, a.k.a. Tommy, he didn't change his... He was always Marine Sniper, right? But he told them his name was Tommy. He sent Jesse some 30-year-old pictures of him in his uniform back when he actually was serving in the Marines, which is why I say no, at least no stolen valor, which is the thing we hate the most on this show. Murder all you want.
So he was a Marine.
Don't claim
rape
to be in the military.
Rape if you have to.
Yeah, by necessity. Sometimes you have to.
If you have no other choice.
Yeah.
But do not steal valor, right? So he sent her old pictures of him in his uniform back when he was actually serving in the Marines. This led to an online relationship that would last for the better part of a year. And it was pretty constant, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tommy,
from start to finish, I think it lasted like a year and 3 months or a year and 6 months.
Right.
But there was a falling out roughly a year into it.
Tommy would regale Jesse with stories of his heroism while deployed in Iraq, which he had stolen directly from the news headlines. This is a little, I know, a little bit, but he still did serve. You know what I'm saying?
Still did. Never saw any combat.
No, he didn't have combat.
Yeah, I was.
But he was around it.
That's a little bit of stolen valor there. I'm seeing there's a little bit here.
Damn it.
Yeah, slightly.
No, you're right.
But the thing that I was thinking about.
Are you military? That's
Which
stolen
branch?
Valor, right?
Would you consider that stolen valor?
If you're,
he says yes.
Well, shit. If you're claiming that you were in some kind of combat that you weren't. Yeah. Yes, of course. Of course it is. I knew it was. I didn't even need to ask you. I knew it was. There is stolen valor.
He's getting all of this information from the news. At one point, he even claimed that he was deployed to Iraq. He was in Iraq when he was talking to her, but he was getting all of his information from the news. If at some point he would have just flipped over to the History Channel, he would have been telling her like, oh, yeah, I was just in Da Nang and I took shrapnel in the leg from a Tricom grenade.
Right. Listen, stolen valor for a tall, hot blonde? I'll allow it. Just kidding. just kidding. Obviously, it's never okay. Tommy regaled Jesse with stories of heroism. So he ripped directly from the headlines about the ongoing battle in Fallujah. In return, Jesse would get wetter than the monsoon season in Vietnam and send him...
Yeah, god damn it.
Coop,
what?
I asked Coop to pick the paragraphs that I was going to read. So, Jesse would get wetter than the monsoon season in Vietnam and send him sexy pictures of herself. Then the cycle would continue anew. Listen.
Jesus, Coop.
He also would, like, use moments of, like, if he needed time to, like, be with his family, he would be like, I'm deployed, right?
But he has a family?
So he...
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Okay, so the person that we...
I got caught up in his romance. Oh,
okay.
Did he
die? So the person we introduced... He didn't die. Is that what you're asking? The person in the beginning that we introduced.
Right.
Montgomery, 46.
Family
married.
Man.
Two kids. Family man. Starts talking to
Jesse. He's living
Jesse,
a little fantasy on the side.
Turns into, magically... 18-year-old Tommy, right? Mm. In the military. Marine sniper, okay?
Never met each other, though, so it's fine.
This
is all just goofing around.
No. As time wore on, Thomas expanded on the identity of Tommy, which resulted in him beginning to lose his grasp on his real identity. which was that of a sexual predator in his mid-40s, hell-bent on filling the generation gap with what most women would call a disappointing penis. Because he did.
I would imagine so. Impotent,
recovering alcoholic. He was a real fun dude.
No wonder I kind of relate to this guy.
Sure, you love him.
Not recovering yet.
Yeah. But you can see how in the future, if you were recovering, balding, penis wouldn't work.
On my to-do list. Mm-hmm. Thomas eventually worked out a full backstory and character description for his alter ego. I love this.
He should have been a writer.
Tommy was a rip. Was that a jab at me? Bastard.
Oh, I guess it was kind of.
He wouldn't have been good. Oh, his alter ego is Tommy?
I could come up with a more believable backstory for a fake character than
What's
this.
The backstory?
Tommy was a ripped 18-year-old that resembled a young Harrison Ford with bright red hair.
Oh.
He had $2.5 million in the bank and lugged around a 9-inch hog that would make a porn star jealous.
At 18, he had 2.5?
Right?
Wow. Tall Hot Blonde was like, of course.
Of course you do. It's ridiculous. And 9-inch hog, nobody has those.
And nobody wants it. Can I tell you? Nobody wants it.
Speak for yourself.
Electric church later. Electric church later. Okay.
Why he would give himself all of these positive traits and still make himself a ginger is still under investigation.
Fair point.
Right? You're going to say that you look like a young, ripped Harrison Ford, but with red hair?
But it's hot. Because he has to show her the real pictures of him, right?
Oh, okay. So, well, if she's seen the real pictures of him, he doesn't look anything like a young Harrison Ford.
It's like in uniform, and maybe it was like, I don't know.
Not that I can tell. In 2006, Thomas wrote a note to himself which read, quote, "On January 2nd, 2006, Tom Montgomery, 46 years old, ceased to exist and is replaced by an 18-year-old battle-scarred Marine. He is moving to West Virginia to be with the love of his life."
So this is a note he wrote to himself?
Yeah, it was found later. He wrote it on his computer like he was just writing his thoughts.
He was losing grip with reality. He was
definitely.
Oh,
he was at this time. He was at this time very unhappy. He said impotent, recovering alcoholic, aging.
I really feel like you're attacking me right now.
Cut that out.
Leave it in. Make it the clip. Anyway,
God damn it. No. Also, at this point, we were talking about it before the show, that the relationship between Tall Hot Blonde and Marine Sniper, it had gotten pretty serious. They'd been talking for roughly a year.
So he's going to go meet her?
Yes.
They talked about marriage. At this point, he was also thinking that she had fallen in love with his personality as opposed to his pictures. So even being 46 years old, he might be able to make it work. Which,
yes, he was feeling like there was in his mind he was going to go.
Is he still kind of in shape, or is he just kind of fucking...
Ooh, you'll show the picture. No, I mean, it's fine. It's just an aging dad who's, like, works at his church. I mean, I don't know.
Red?
Balding, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of looks like the type of person that would do this, but if he would date within his...
What's that supposed to mean?
Can we say that, though, everyone that has talked about him, I don't know if you say this in here, like, he was... the nicest guy. No one would think this is something that he would do.
Really?
Awkward. They didn't love him. But he, as far as his neighbors or people that they talked to, they were just like, he just seemed like this normal, nice dad in the neighborhood. So he was
swayed by the siren song.
Now listen, he comes across, he's in this chat, he comes across a tall, hot blonde. Right away, she sends him bikini pictures, and she is eight. She's young. She's 18, but she's younger. And right, she was 18.
I think 17 when they first started talking, okay, and then she 18. Turned 18 over the course of the relationship.
Or so she
beautiful.
Says.
And at that time,
guys are the liars, Joel, not girls.
At that time, you have to put yourself in the place where we're not dissecting pictures of like, is this real or not? Like, this is just a
everyone's
cute chick. Every picture is the same, so it's all the same person. you know, in different places in their house. Yeah. It looks candid. It looks Does real. So he's like, shut up. So he's like, you're going to ask me about the end or something. Listen, you're going to ask me about the end. I'm taking you on the ride. I'm taking you on the ride. You can go to Electric Church at 3 a.m. We are going on this ride.
Okay, fine. I just want to know if he actually goes.
That right there is planning. Why it's Jesse Weissman's crime.
So now he's planning to go. He's lost grip with reality. They are full on talking all the time, phone sex. You know, it's a full relationship.
Oh.
And I mean, I know that we have the benefit of looking this in a never liked it. We have the benefit of looking at this in hindsight.
Yes.
So to us, there's so many red flags in this whole process. The way that he gives her an address to it's a United States address where he actually lives. It's the address of his house, and he said that is a military distribution center that collects all the mail and sends it overseas to Iraq. That's why it has to go there first. Back then.
Exactly. True. You go, oh, okay. Like, and she's 18. What the fuck does she know?
Yeah, why does she care? Like, okay, exactly. Whatever. Like, I'm having fun.
She's just having fun. She probably doesn't even think that he's maybe going to come and meet her. I don't know.
Yeah,
the old internet was so great. It was the fucking Wild West
there were
back
just
then.
Tall, hot blondes everywhere.
Seriously.
Real ones. So, the generational
The fake internet relationship between Tommy and Jesse continued to grow. Gifts were exchanged, beans were flicked, and marriage was even discussed. At one point, Thomas actually flat out proposed marriage, and she agreed to it. But he sent her
in a chat room.
Yeah, that's definitely the way that most girls want to get proposed to. And then instead of getting a ring, she got a bunch of poinsettias mailed to her.
Really?
Just as good as a diamond ring, in my opinion.
Wait, what's a poinsettia?
That's the Christmas flower, you know, the big red, dogs can't eat it, they'll die. No?
What the fuck?
The lovebirds fell into a routine.
Good. That's what he said. Like, what the fuck? Sorry.
No, I mean,
what the fuck did he send that for?
It is what the fuck, though. You propose over the internet without meeting somebody in person.
Was it Christmas time?
And you send the
it wasn't.
Was it? You got poinsettias?
Yeah.
Not in Christmas time?
They were just sitting around the garage or something.
Something,
he's like,
yeah. He's like, throw this in a thing, yeah.
So, yeah, shit, got this left over from my wife's decorations from Christmas.
It was probably the cheapest thing at the flower shop that he could get.
Mm.
At least he went to the flower shop, though, right?
Oh, that's right. My God, he had to go. It's 2005.
The lovebirds fell into a routine of gushing about their feelings, having virtual sex, which Thomas claimed made him feel yucky. But he was obligated to do it because the poor man was bewitched by the nubile smoke show that was Tall Hot Blonde. Mm-hmm. And at what point do you have virtual sex with a teenager and feel like it's just an obligation? I think
he's cheating on his wife.
I know. And also, I think at this point he knew she was a virgin. And when the trip that he was going to take was like they had talked about, like him taking her virginity and stuff.
Oh, God.
I know.
Oh.
I know.
Now it just got gross and dark and weird.
Yeah.
Everything was jolly good until...
Was it jolly good? This was a fun one for you, right?
It was great
till
right now.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, now it's dark.
And then you like snapped back to like...
Oh, God. It's a almost 50-year-old man.
I'm on Crime Corner. Yeah. And let's not forget.
I know where I am.
You brought us Girl in the Box. And so this is why we do this.
That wasn't me.
Via you. Okay, guys, since we are on the Ross Patterson Revolution feed, we do have some sponsors. They would never sponsor us, right? Crime Corner. But since we are on the Ross Patterson Revolution feed, you know, we get
sponsors.
We get to pretend that we have sponsors, of course. And you know these people, these fine folks over at GhostBed.com. They've been with us since, I feel like, the beginning. They've been with us since the garage days.
They've been there since I worked here.
Yes. The premier bed in a box that you get delivered to your house Right now, they are doing 50% off with code Drinking Bros. Now, you have to put in code Drinking Bros to get that 50% off. But it's time, guys. Spring is upon us, and I don't know who needs to hear this, but you need a new bed.
I do.
You definitely do, and this is kind of an intervention. Like, it's a sponsor, sort of, but it's an intervention for you.
You saw the... that I have in my trailer.
It's time, I think, and it's really time for everyone. If you take those sheets off of your bed, people, tell me what you see and tell me how you feel. Do you know what I mean? It's time. Let's start anew. Let's get a new bed. Let's get new sheets. Let's get an adjustable base. Let's get a cover, a waterproof, spill-proof, pee-proof, poop-proof.
That's what I need.
Cover.
Pee-proof.
For the bed, let's get pillows, amazing cooling pillows. Let's search through all the different kinds of mattresses they have and find out which premium, deluxe, awesome, 3D, luxe, cooling, whatever, RV, bed.
That's what I'm looking at.
Find the best that suits you and just get a new one. Your wife, girlfriend, husband, boyfriend, cousin will thank you. Go to ghostbed.com and enter code Drinking Bros for 50% off your entire order. They also have pay as you go.
Oh yeah, like monthly payments.
Cheap.
It's like $30 a month or something.
No interest if you have good credit. Don't come.
I'm working on that.
For Joel, actually, it won't be. but for everyone else with fairly good credit, you can get no interest, pay as you go, and then you can break those payments up and not break the bank. Ghostbed.com, enter code Drinking Bros. Next up, we have HardAFSeltzer.com. Yeah. The reason why you're listening to our ridiculous show instead of Ross Patterson Revolution is because the boys are in Georgia, one of the states that were available, and just crisscrossing the nation with this stuff. We need everyone to try. Yes.
I just opened one.
You opened another one, let's be another honest. One, you opened another one. It's not your first one. But 8%, no carbs, no sugars, no gluten.
And they taste good.
Yep. Keep that man body trim, guys. Not too sweet. The thing I like about Hard AF Seltzer is it's not too sweet. Doesn't taste that weird chemical aftertaste that you get with other seltzers. We're not going to say any
that
other
fake sugar bullshit.
Yeah. We're not going to say any other names, but with Hard AF Seltzer, you don't get that. It's not overpowering with the sweetness, but...
but it is with the alcohol.
8% is overpowering. And Bob and I talk about, like, we need to get this stuff checked again because it could be in the 12s. Don't you feel like...
Yeah.
It could be 12, 13%,
guys. It seems like that.
Drink with caution, obviously. If we are not available in your state just yet, you can always get it delivered straight to your door. Go to HardAFSeltzer.com and put in the store locator to see if it is available by you. If it's not, go into your alcoholic store or the liquor store or where you drink. Tell them that you want Hard AF Seltzer, and they will get it there, and we will take over the world.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And you can still order it, right? You can order it.
Still order it. Go to heartafseltzer.com.
If it's not in your state, right?
Yeah.
You can still get it delivered.
You can still get it delivered, and it'll be it's a fun little treat. If you have a get together, if you have, you know, people coming over.
The only one there that has it.
Yeah. You can introduce, you could be the one that was cool before everyone else gets a hold of this shit. HardAFSeltzer.com. The generationally divided couple often made plans to meet in person, which Thomas obviously had no intention of following through with. It was actually this fact that helped him justify the fake relationship. He would go back and forth, right? But really, like, he knew he wasn't he would have moments of like, I'm fucking doing it. But
yeah. And I mean, honestly thought that when he revealed that he was a 46-year-old out of shape, balding man, that
I think he was kind of going back and forth with that. Like,
if he was still in shape, she might have.
Yeah.
Like, if he's still a good, I think she would have done it.
Actually, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
There's a chance.
I'd go for it.
The electric church. The fact that helped this fact that helped him justify the fake relationship, virtual sex, and infidelity. After all, if he never met her in person, he wasn't a disgusting creep or philandering dirt dickbag. He was merely a man at the mercy of his quickly depleting testosterone levels. If anything, he was the real victim here.
And that was
in
something
his
that
mind, I really think he thought that.
I really wanted to debate it to with you guys because I feel like he is the real victim in this situation.
Listen, there is an argument, not joking, not an argument for that at all, but
like a theory
for him talking to her for a little bit, sure. This amount of time, no. But like, you're in a chat room, whatever. She sends you that those pictures. It's in 2005. You think it's real.
Somehow a beautiful woman likes me and I'm 47.
You're in a dark place, whatever. It is not her fault at all. It is not her fault at all. But you could see him talking to her for a little bit.
No, I think it is her fault right now.
Oh, now you flipped.
Yeah.
Now you flipped.
She seduced him.
Now you flipped.
Turned him into a criminal.
Don't be on the wrong side of history just because you don't understand the case. Thomas knew what he was doing was wrong. In a later interview, he made the understatement of the century when he said, "If I was smart, I would have just ended it. But it was like a drug that I needed every day."
Damn.
I'm sure there's some guys out there that can relate to that, but not with a teenager when you're 46 fucking years old
and
with a
impotent wife
and kids and impotent. And
so what are you doing?
And balding and overweight.
You know what, though? Maybe the internet and the phone sex of it or whatever with the erectile dysfunction, like maybe that was easier because there wasn't pressure.
He didn't have to go through the embarrassment. Maybe it made it work again. Maybe that was the only way he could get hard.
Did he get hard again?
He never said that.
That wasn't in any of the documentaries.
That's a big deal.
They didn't go deep into that in the Dateline, right?
Which is kind of surprising.
It is surprising. That's all the questions that I have are about his dick.
That's the only thing that I wanted to know when I was watching him.
His 9-inch hog?
His 9-inch hog that's actually not that.
I
want to
know,
yeah.
Is it? It might be. Maybe that was the only thing he was telling the truth about.
It's so big when you get old, it just
you talk about, like, why did he say red hair? Like, maybe he said some things that were true, like a 9-inch. Doesn't work. He didn't say it didn't work, right?
True.
He's ripped. Didn't say he's not really ripped. He's red-haired, yes.
He didn't say he was balding,
but the hair's red.
In the initial picture that he sent her, he was ripped. Spent 6 years in the Marines. He was in good shape.
For sure.
So. It's time makes fools of us all, I guess is how it goes.
I want to see his dick. Cut that out.
You have to cut that out of every episode, dude. Save yourself some work.
Let's leave that one in because you say it every episode. We're going to leave this one in this time. All right, go ahead, Coop.
Everything was going perfectly aside from the fact that Tommy didn't exist and the real Thomas was a balding, middle-aged man with a wife and two children. I think at this point they'd been married for 16 years, something along those lines.
Aww.
Little details like that weren't enough to get in the way of the love between tall, hot, blonde, and Marine sniper, though. Thomas's wife, however, was more than willing and capable of fucking up his plan, which she did because women hate seeing men happy.
Holy shit!
Coop, he is the real victim.
Cindy Montgomery was the lucky lady who had first captured the heart of the legendary Marine sniper. This unique specimen of a woman had the rare combination of low standards and a high tolerance for bullshit required to land an alpha male on this level. Unfortunately, as the old saying goes, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And this horse-cocked war hero was no longer willing to settle for an old nag that had grown long in the tooth.
Holy shit.
Yeah, she made the horrible mistake of turning 46. We all know you can't do that.
No.
As previously stated, Jesse and Tommy were fond of sending gifts to one another. This isn't an issue for an 18-year-old woman that lives with her family, but for a 46-year-old with a wife and children, it carries a little bit more risk. Surprisingly, it took over a year for Cindy to intercept one of Jesse's packages. When she did, everything began to fall apart.
Oh, no.
Upon discovering one of the packages from Jesse, not me, Cindy Montgomery leapt into action and totally cock-blocked her poor husband, Coop. Okay. She cock-blocked her poor husband. She had put a lot of time and effort into lowering her standards enough to marry Thomas, and she wasn't about to lose that prize to some young, attractive harlot. Cindy, to her credit, by the way, sent a letter to Jesse explaining who Thomas really was, along with a family photo to prove she was telling the truth. She sent a picture of her, Thomas, and their two children.
And there's actually a few other things that I left out of that paragraph because I just couldn't think of a funny way to write it. It was his daughter who initially went and logged into his computer, and a message from Jesse popped up. She sent a message thinking that he was online. And the context of the message made it pretty clear what was going on. So her daughter, or his daughter, dug a little bit further into other records and figured out that he was trying to hook up with an 18-year-old. And I think at this point she was 18. And then showed that to her.
Yeah, he had older, at least teenage, maybe 16. I don't think they were quite 18 yet. The daughters, right?
Yeah, I don't.
They were close because I heard they were close to Jesse's age, yeah. But not quite.
Yeah, that was one of the things that
Cindy
pointed out.
Why it took this long? Why it took a year? I mean, again, this is 2005, right? Now, it would pop up on your other device, a notification, and someone would get it, right? So the fact that it took a year and a half for the daughter to like get on the computer and see a message with the amount that they worked, you know, and this is a time where...
Yeah.
And this is a time where people had one computer in the house.
Yeah.
That everyone was using.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he was defending himself by any time that Cindy would try to walk in the room, be like, get out of here. I'm just playing video games.
He kind of would. She'd be like, can you be done? He's like, when I'm done.
I can't imagine.
He was so cool. He was so cool. Right? He was just like a cool dude. When I'm done, I'll come out.
I'm playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine being in a relationship with somebody who's spending all of this time on the internet talking to people, and it's clear that he's in chat rooms. Spending all of this time in chat rooms, not spending any time with the family. Cindy said at one point that when he would get home from work, he would walk like right past her without saying anything and go and sit down on the computer and be there for hours. It seems like another red flag.
I know, but again, you got to put yourself in the mind of like that was not.
Well, she was getting away
something with... that we knew.
Yeah.
As far as like the computer and things like this, like that we knew was like a portal to the entire world. We were like, oh, you're just on the, you know, you're just playing games, whatever.
Yeah.
And especially at that age, you know, when she's probably like, I don't want to fucking hang out with them either.
I guess I'll, yeah, looking at him, I wouldn't assume that he would be the type to.
Right.
He
so
might
you
have
just
the
go, okay. You're
might have the
games.
Urge to cheat, but right. not the capability of cheating.
You can't be cheating.
What's his wife's name?
Cindy.
Dude, Cindy probably had a side piece that we don't know about. That's why she was like, "Oh, play your fucking games. I'm gonna go."
No, she didn't have a side Charles. Piece. She had two kids and an aging husband. She was in the. She was in a room by herself and loving it. Okay. So she didn't have a side piece, but she thought
you and my sister really need to talk.
We really do. But listen, like you go, I can see my husband, and especially at this time, I can see him. He's in the room. He's not cheating. So you just go, okay, whatever, right? This is his thing now. So if he's leaving all the time to do shit, then you red flag. But at this time, he could be watching sports. He could be in playing video games. You just go.
Whatever.
Whatever. There's no way that you go, there's no way that he's cheating.
Yeah.
Now we know, yes. But
he's not bugging me about sex, so it's fine.
God, I can watch my fucking shows.
Could you imagine him just throwing that floppy 9-inch cock all over soft, trying to get hard?
Yeah.
So she is happy.
Just trying
that
to fucking
gone.
Feed the needle and just,
like,
put the rope
it,
into
it in half
trying to
shoving
put
it
the
in.
Rope thumb into the in. Fucking
oh, God.
Wizard sleeve. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's like, I'm good. I'm good. Doesn't said, work anyways.
You said wizard sleeve? Jesus Christ.
Probably Cindy has a wizard sleeve, huh?
Yeah, well,
anyway,
I mean, after 16 years of getting
welcome
railed
RPR,
by a...
Welcome, RPR listeners.
16 years of getting railed by a 9-inch horse cock. That
yeah,
would,
you
that
got a wizard sleeve at that point. All right. Where are we?
All right, yeah, I kind of lost track also.
Wait,
upon discovering
is it
one
me?
Of the packages.
Yes, upon discovering the packages. Okay, so then she sent a family photo to Jesse. Again, to Cindy's credit. Like Coop said, like, she worked really hard for this piece of shit. She's not going to lose him now. She has put up with so much. And also, she's a mother. So I think she a little bit put on her, you know, went into mom mode and was like, this is a child.
Oh, shit.
I'm not going to get mad at her. I'm just going to let her know what's going on. So she sent her a letter, a picture, and basically this... understandably broke Jesse's heart, and hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. So now she sees this and is like, holy shit. Doesn't
this is what he's been doing the whole fucking time.
Thinks it's true, but doesn't really know. Right?
Yeah, doesn't know for sure. It's just you get a letter in the mail from out of nowhere. I mean, return address is the address that you sent the last package to, but yeah, letter in the mail out of nowhere saying, no, this is my husband. We have two kids together. He's actually 46 years old.
The man you've been talking to, and she said, the man you've been talking to is the balding dude behind me in this picture.
And
just so you know.
Also called him a sexual predator in the letter.
Yeah.
Like
and
said
was like,
that,
you need,
that
basically
he was a,
telling Jesse, like, being mom-like instead of pissed off and was just like, you need to watch out online. Like, my husband is basically grooming you, and you need to be more careful with who you're talking to, who you're sending stuff to, because this is what is happening. And
props to Cindy.
She didn't even say, really I don't even know if she said stop or else or anything like that. She was just like, I'm telling you what's going on.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point. She wasn't saying like, oh, stay away from my
it
man.
It wasn't
she,
aggressive.
She was saying he's a predator, he's a manipulator, this is who he really is. Be more careful about who you're talking to online.
Trying to help her out.
That is
Cindy.
Honestly cool as shit.
Cindy.
Good old
what
Cindy.
What a gem. And then what happened, Coop?
In retaliation for lying to her and breaking her heart, Jesse fell back on one of the oldest tricks in the female playbook. She started fucking one of his friends. Virtually, at least. This is where Brian Barrett enters the picture.
Fuck.
Brian Barrett was a 22-year-old that worked at the same machine shop as Thomas. He was younger, more attractive, and could walk up a flight of stairs without breaking a sweat. Plus, his screen name in the chat rooms was Beefcake.
Yeah.
So you can rest assured that he could lay pipe.
Story.
Dude, there's.
How did you figure out it was a dude in the same
workplace
and all that shit?
Actually, what happened? They're all in the same chat room. They would all game together.
It was a. I guess it was a.
They
video
were actually
game
gaming?
Slash chat room called Pogo, where you could play games there. I think you could play like poker and other games like that.
Blackjack.
But it was also
so they're all playing blackjack
card
together.
Games.
You know, Tommy is introducing. You know, tall, hot blonde to his friend Brian. They're all kind of playing together. Tommy would actually, or Thomas Montgomery would actually.
Yeah, Tommy's innocent in all this. He's just a good old Marine out there fighting
poor,
the good fight.
Poor dude. He actually would get online like as his dad, like the first. Where she first, you know what I mean? Like where he was first in the chat member and he said, oh, I'm using my dad's account. So then he would go on as his dad and be like, you can't be talking to my son anymore. Every time he would try and break it off with her a little bit, he would be the first like account that he was using being like, this is my dad's account. And so he really kind of created a bunch of different personas, and then what he also world. Introduced her to real people in his life. So it was a virtual relationship, just like you would have where you're introducing to friends that you work with. And,
Jesus
you know,
Christ.
So she knew, had access to this guy, Brian.
Who's actually young.
Who was actually the age that he said he was and wasn't trying to, like, be anything different. And so she kind of reached out to him being like, hey, is this really, like, who your friend is? And he was like, yeah. So they kind of were commiserating and then virtually got together.
Yeah, they started getting spicy. It's
right, because it was like, look, we're closer in age. I've always thought you were hot, probably, and, you know.
So initially,
let's digitally fuck.
Let's digitally hook up.
Thomas would talk, the old Tom, he would talk around the machine shop that they were working at about how he was hooking up with, like,
having this relationship
with a younger girl. Yeah. Didn't say her age, very specifically didn't say her age.
Or, just said
you know,
younger.
People would know that he was a piece of shit. But he would brag about it around the machine shop.
God.
And would talk to this kid, Brian, about it also. I think they worked different shifts, so it's not like they were real close friends at work, but they did both sign into the Pogo website.
And I think they had, like, dinner maybe one time at Thomas's house. So it was, like, one time. But it's, like, other than that, they were kind of just work acquaintances, people that you work with all the time and whatever.
Yeah, sort of like how we are. We never hang out with each other outside of the show. Yeah,
no, yeah, totally. Except for if it's Electric Church. Anyway. So what happened with Brian?
In other words, Brian Barrett was exactly the type of guy that Thomas would see as a threat. He was the perfect tool to use to get back at Tommy. And again, there's really not any. Okay, there's one person that's a little bit more innocent than others, but they were all, like, playing this love triangle online where, you know,
something to do.
Brian, though, is who he says he is.
Yeah, Brian is being honest about everything. Something that I literally just found out yesterday was Brian was kind of rubbing some of this shit in Tom's face. Which is a shitty thing to do, but I think that Tom was doing the more shitty thing overall. So,
but Jesse had told Brian what Thomas did to her.
True.
So he's now at this point trying to, like, he thinks he was a creep that lied to his virtual girlfriend at this point. So now
family.
He's, like, you know,
fuck
giving him shit kind of for his girlfriend, not whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So but, yeah, he did go above me telling everyone about it. He would talk about it all the time.
And at 22 years old, I guess you can kind of justify that. The one thing that I think was, it's not in the notes, but one thing that I think was a little above and beyond was the fact that he printed out copies of the conversation that he had with Tall Hot Blonde and was, like, showing them to people at the machine shop.
Yeah.
Saying, like, oh,
then
look at
who had? Brian or
so
that Thomas?
So the conversation that Brian and Tall Hot Blonde had, printed out copies of it and showed it around at work, which, I mean, it's the guy had it coming. It's a little petty.
Yeah, but don't poke
overall.
That. Don't poke that creep. Right?
Oh, yeah. And also at this point, Thomas was making, like, open threats to everybody else at work to the point that one of the people that was working at the machine shop decided to start bringing a bulletproof vest and wear it because Tom was losing
his fucking mind.
Dude, I would have printed pictures of her and posted them around the shop.
He was already
me.
Losing it, right? Grips with reality when he was talking to her. So now losing her, he is on the edge.
Yeah, very, very close to the edge.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I smell a murder, maybe.
Yeah, there's a murder. Yeah, it's Crime Corner. Yeah, we told you. Yeah, we told you already. There's a murder. You going to be okay?
It depends on who it is.
You
going to
be okay, bud?
Does she die? She die?
She doesn't die.
Oh, okay. Anyone else?
I was going to say, who do you think it is?
Oh, I should have asked, huh?
Yeah, whatever. We'll go with
he
it.
He would always pick wrong.
Right. I would think it would be the chick.
Yeah.
It's
going to be anyone. Okay. The perfect, where are we? Me?
So Jesse began openly flirting.
Jesse began opening crab juice is kicking in, and now we will not know where we are.
Oh, that's perfect for the next page. Mm-hmm. This is going to be fun.
Jesse began openly flirting with Brian online, publicly humiliating Thomas in front of the teenagers on the internet. He considered to be his peers.
Poor
this
guy.
Would prove to be a petty move that would lead to a deadly encounter. The following is an actual excerpt from their conversation after Thomas learned of the lava triangle.
Between who and who?
This
online conversation between Marine Sniper and Tall Hot Blonde.
So
after
from the first couple, Thomas has just found out that she's talking to Brian, right? So this is, we're going to play the part.
Yeah, can you be
Marine Sniper?
Marine Sniper? Please, can you be Marine Sniper and you be tall?
Maybe
tall?
We should.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yes.
I mean, my acting is going to be horrible either way.
We did have it the other way, Joel. All right.
All right. Good call.
Coop, so you're tall, hot, blonde right now.
Yeah, tall, hot, blonde, big 50. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That's her actual screen name. They had numbers after him.
Okay, so now he's. This is not like fun exchange like we used to have, of which there are
this
some.
This is some serious shit.
Yeah.
This is like he's just found out, losing grip.
And
let's just make it clear to the audience that you are Marine Sniper.
I'm Marine Sniper, Thomas Montgomery.
And you are Tall Hot
Blonde. And you're Jesse.
I am Jesse. Tall
Hot 18-year-old Tall Hot Blonde.
Yes.
And we just kind of thought, casting wise, that was the best.
Yeah, it's the right move.
Because I'm 5'2".
That's why Joel's
I can't do it.
Yeah, you got to be tall.
You're tall. The only criteria we used was being tall.
Only thing I'm missing is being blonde. I think I fill the other two slots.
Yeah, blonde through the camera, so that works.
All right. I need to think about. On Friday or Saturday. You can say goodbye forever to me and Tommy.
Why?
Wait, why is he saying? Oh, because now. Okay. By the way, at this point, she knows that he has been lying to her. So he's using both things as like, you can say goodbye to me, the 46-year-old that.
He's still trying to pull it off.
Well,
no. So context to it.
Go ahead.
Before this, they had conversations where they would both talk about the fact that they missed Tommy. They missed the relationship between.
So after she was talking to Brian, this real cool Jessie girl decides to message Thomas again and say, I miss Tommy. I don't know if I miss you, but I miss the connection that I had, whatever we had as Tommy. So she's kind of at this point playing both.
Yeah.
She's messaging Tommy and being like, I wish you were this person. Like,
or maybe she really did miss that.
They tried to move forward as friends. Like, they both kind of, in this weird exchange, reintroduced themselves to each other. Hi, I'm Thomas. I'm 46. She said, hi, I'm Jesse. I'm 18 and I just graduated, she said.
Congratulations.
And so they started a friendship, but I think probably Thomas thought it would turn into something more. It didn't. She went back to Brian and was kind of going back and forth.
Yeah,
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite sports and players, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. March is almost over, but the biggest moments in college basketball tip off the month of April. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today at Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. So let's take the NBA, for example. Let's say you choose Steph Curry for more than 29 points and the Joker for more than 10 rebounds. Or let's say you take Caitlin Clark for more than 30 points and LeBron James for more than 7 assists. You're a winner. Kevin Durant for more than 28 points and Trae Young for more than 10 assists. You're a winner. It's that easy. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Ross Patterson for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the Prize Picks app today and use code Ross Patterson for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Yeah, now it's time for PXG. When PXG says nobody makes golf clubs the way that they do, they're not lying. The PXG clubs I have are absolutely incredible. So when I heard about their new Black Ops driver, the driver that promises you that you don't have to sacrifice distance for forgiveness, I had to try it. I went to a PXG location for a fitting down in Austin. Fantastic experience across the board. Super impressed with those guys. And the PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's a complete and total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. Black Ops drivers are adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000 plus for unreal forgiveness. That's ridiculously high. The higher the MOI, the more forgiving the club will play. So you don't have to square the ball perfectly for it to go straight and get distance. Add PXG's new advanced material face technology, and you get the incredible ball speed that pushes distance to absolute limits. More forgiveness, more distance, no sacrifices. Game changer has been thrown around a lot. Let's face it, all the time here, I feel like. It's been thrown around so much that it's kind of just lost its meaning. Trust me when I tell you, the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/Ross Patterson and use the code Ross Patterson at checkout. That's pxg.com/Ross Patterson. Code Ross Patterson for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Ross Patterson, code Ross Patterson.
So I think, okay, I'm just explaining why he's saying you're going to say goodbye to me and Tommy.
Right.
Because now everything's out in the open and whatever.
Yeah, and they both referred to Tommy as a...
So on Friday or Saturday, on Friday or Saturday, you can say goodbye forever to me and Tommy.
Why?
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 No, no, I need him. No,
you need the
way, okay, the okay, way to okay, go. Yeah,
okay.
All right. I would have him do deadpan, which why? I love. I know, but I need him to try and be Tall Hot Blonde.
Okay, okay,
okay.
I'm in.
We are Oh, sorry, I was being her. We are leaving for good.
No.
Yes, Jesse. You're having fun in your life now, so it's time for us to leave.
No, Tom. Don't take Tommy.
He's what? Going with me. You replaced him with Timmy.
Oh, God.
Why?
Okay, why I didn't that? Understand the Timmy reference.
Okay, go ahead.
Please don't say that. It's not true.
According to the text I got, it's true.
No, it isn't.
So it's time for Tommy to be put to rest.
I will leave.
I wish I had a perfect life like you and Brian do.
What does Brian have to do with this?
He left a few copies of your conversation on my toolbox today. Half the company knows now.
Knows what?
What you two talked about. I just want to say there's a lot of number twos in here. Right? For two.
Again, okay, it drove me fucking crazy writing this shit
out.
That's
how you talk, dude.
I hate internet speak.
That's how you talk in 2005 in the chat room. How you told him I was a fucking loser and a predator. I don't have a life. 3 hours you two were talking about me.
What did you say to him?
I didn't.
Why not?
It's not worth it anymore.
I will get out of your life, Tom. I've done too much damage to be undone now. So sorry.
Gosh.
I don't think I caught the vibe on that that last line.
You really did. Listen,
is that the same voice you do at Electric Church?
You've been
perfect.
There with me, yes.
Joel, I don't know about that producing choice, but it was good. It was good.
I might have fucked that up.
He did great. I think I played him like an 18-year-old, where I should have been like an old dude.
I'm 46. I'm an old man that's 46 years old.
Everybody at the shop knows about it now.
46 is ancient, don't you guys think? Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I might as well be dead. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Coop, what happens now?
Just a few years away from me.
Yeah, Thomas went on to say, and this is a direct quote, Brian will pay in blood. Internet threats from a proven internet liar can generally be filed alongside emails from Nigerian royals looking for help securing their fortunes. It should come as no surprise that Thomas's words weren't taken all that seriously. This would prove to be a deadly mistake.
Yeah. Again, it's like if you've never met someone, if you've never seen them, you're just like, I'll just shut my computer, right?
The amount of times that I've threatened to like drive to somebody's house and kill them on the internet,
right?
I never follow through.
I know.
It's an empty threat.
You really do. What's the celebrity that you do that to the most?
For me?
Yeah.
Lizzo.
Well, she quit. That's why she quit.
You got her to
Only
quit.
Time
she quit,
I succeeded.
Dude. You got her to quit.
Holy shit.
On September 15th, 2006, Brian Barrett was found dead in the parking lot of the machine shop he and Thomas worked at.
Damn, I knew it.
No, you didn't.
I told
you. That was going to be my guess.
You guessed her.
I was hoping it wasn't her.
He had been shot 3 times at close range with a rifle.
Damn.
The love triangle between Thomas, Jesse, and Brian had become an open secret amongst their coworkers, making Thomas the primary suspect in the murder. When police went to question him about the homicide, he was nowhere to be found. Okay, so I need you to play the clip now from the Lifetime movie of him driving in his car, slamming on the fucking... escaping! Okay.
Holy shit.
Authorities immediately suspected that Marine Sniper was on his way to finally meet Tall Hot Blonde in person. So, from everything they knew and from questioning coworkers, they were like, okay,
he killed
this guy. Now he's going to kill the other person, right? So now they're worried about Jesse. Something interesting that astute listeners may have noticed is that this entire affair had been carried out on the internet. Neither Thomas nor Brian had ever met the object of their collective affection in person.
It was Cindy.
Shut up.
Now that would be a 2024 situation. It was the investigators that were the first to have the honor of seeing the legendary Tall Hot Blonde in real life.
Yes.
When police were arrived at Jesse's home in West Virginia, they uncovered a plot twist that would give M. Night Shyamalan
a priapism.
A what?
Priapism. It's when you get a boner and it won't go away. You know, you've had one of those.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You were going to have me say that? And know that?
I figured you
knew. I knew M. Night. I know M. Night, though.
So that's what you call this.
The police officers.
Yes, dude. Go to the hospital.
So the police officers were first greeted by Jesse's mother, Mary Sheeler.
Good old Mary Sheeler.
They informed her of the murder and possible threat to her daughter. When asked where Jesse was, Mary almost immediately broke down in tears. She said, she's not here. They asked her, do you have a way to get a hold of her? She said, I don't. They were like, you don't have a way of getting hold of your daughter. We're worried. We think that maybe she's the next on this killing spree. It's then when she broke into tears and revealed that Jesse wasn't tall, hot, blonde.
It was her. Was it?
Joel, there's a storyline that we're trying to go with and do a big reveal to the listeners.
We like you to be confused, not right.
I'm right? Yes.
Well, we definitely took them right to the button.
True.
Right?
I think it's about as good as we could have done.
They could have fell in love. They could have fell in love.
All right. So.
I agree.
God damn it. He just had to go. If he would have just went, he would have fell in love with her.
Imagine that.
It had both been her mother, Mary,
that
was behind the profile the entire time. The catfish had become the catfished.
Damn it.
While Thomas was busy creeping around pretending to be an 18-year-old Marine, Mary was doing her own creeping under the guise of being her daughter, Jessie. The entire relationship had been a sham on two levels, which is... one additional level than the average relationship. Two pathetic, unhappy people had tricked one another into believing they were someone else, and an innocent man had been murdered because of it. Now,
they could have fell in love.
Mary used pictures of her daughter, took upskirt pictures of her daughter.
Oh, God.
Took pictures of her in the shower, naked pictures of her, bikini pictures. Sent to this fucking dude.
Fuck. Thinking it was a kid.
Even thinking it's a...
You know,
a,
I don't know if she...
It's a kid?
This is
it's fucked up no matter what.
That's
just,
a good
like,
question, right? Like, I don't know if she knew. And even once she found out, she goes, oh, okay. Right?
She's like, I can handle that.
Because we're the fucking same age, really.
But she didn't think that
True.
He would handle her when he showed
but,
up.
But, I mean, goddamn, imagine following your... your 17 to 18 year old daughter around
that's
and,
so fucked
and
up.
Using her
she's
to
more fucked
sexually,
up than
sexually yes
I'm glad
I
you
think,
said it
that's worse
I think
at least he was just using photos of himself
he's fucked
you know?
Up he's a piece of shit she is
that's next level
as usual the woman is the diabolical mastermind evil motherfucker, and do not underestimate and do not forget. You guys can be fucking pieces of shit, but this woman will ruin your life. I don't even know what she looks like. Do you? The mom?
Yeah, funny that her name's Jessie, but yeah, I've seen pictures
yeah,
of her.
Yeah, I know. And she was so this is what I was saying. So she would like, when she
My
was messaging
God.
Him, she would talk about her softball game. She would send him softball pictures. Her name was Jessie, like blonde. I'm not tall, but I could have lied, said I was. Taking only pictures from here up. These... Like, I have really long legs, yeah?
I believe that if these two got together... they would have stopped being creeps.
The sad,
honestly, between
the
two,
they would have got their
thing.
Shit together.
It could have just turned into a normal, run-of-the-mill extramarital affair.
Because even Absolutely. If they're pretending to be someone they're not, they're still being themselves in all those chats for
yeah,
years.
Yeah, and fine, but be
they
fun.
Fell in love with each other, their personalities, and they were both hiding behind a mask.
So what next, Coop?
It's pretty clear that Thomas is the bigger piece of shit in this situation, considering he killed a guy for flirting with his fake internet girlfriend. 45-year-old Mary Sheeler wasn't exactly a bastion of morality either. Thomas wasn't the first
See,
they
man were she... the same age.
Dude, they could have They really would have been a perfect couple.
Well, they were the same age, which means she was ancient.
They were in love, though.
Well, yeah, I mean... it,
anyway, go ahead.
Past the age of 40, you don't have sex anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thomas wasn't the first man she had catfished using pictures of her daughter. Not only Damn. Had Mary pulled the same ruse on multiple other men. At one point, she secretly took an upskirt video of her own daughter and sent it to creepy dudes she was flirting with online, asking them, and this is a quote, "Guys, do you like it?"
Yeah. So she cast a wide
what the fuck
net, basically, ugh, with this persona, tall, hot, blonde, and she got this triangle, which she loved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just fully
but she
about
tried. She like put it out there to a lot of people, and these two were the ones that bit, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the ones that bit the worst. She had other guys that she was talking to on a regular basis.
I'm sure.
But I would imagine that she didn't expect it to spiral this out of control.
This
overall,
is like a Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, but she
story.
Clearly
so
didn't
sad.
Care, though, right?
Never heard of Romeo and Juliet. What's that?
That was something
what
like,
happens with
it was
them?
Something similar to that. That. Poem you
what happens
yourself.
To them? Do they fuck?
They die.
Oh, God!
Although Sheeler has never been interviewed on camera, she did make some pretty wild claims to Barbara Schroeder, who interviewed Mary for a 2009 documentary. According to Schroeder, Mary insisted that she was doing a public service by catfishing Thomas Montgomery.
Fuck you. And because she can't be prosecuted, this is changed now. Because she didn't actually do anything illegal.
Yeah.
She doesn't
no
get
nudity or anything.
She doesn't get in trouble.
Well, I mean, she set up there a situation that resulted in murder. There's some
yeah,
step in that
she,
process that should be
But at this time, there is now. But at that time, she in, you know.
It was a wild
in
west
the eyes of the law.
I get in trouble if I talk someone into killing someone?
Now.
Oh, shit, I got it.
Yeah, it's instigation.
Well, we're going to have to Good do to the know. Text message killer then, right?
Ooh.
That girl that...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the laws have changed with, you know, it has to change with technology, right?
Right,
so,
right.
But at this time, she technically did not do anything wrong.
Next episode or give it an episode or two before
we'll
we
give it well, an episode right. or two.
So in Mary's mind, if she dropped the facade and let Thomas know who she really was, he would start pursuing real teenage girls. As far as she was concerned, she was protecting young women from sexual predators.
This fucking loser, dude.
I see that.
She's a martyr.
I see that.
She's throwing herself in front of the bullet meant for the president.
She's doing God's work.
God, she's the fucking worst. Thomas is the worst.
Brian seemed like a douche anyway. Glad he's gone. Boom! Said it.
I'm with you on that one.
What?
Little douchey. I mean, you don't print
Brian
out.
Brian is the only one that's telling the truth in this entire
yeah,
fucking story.
He's the least evil out of everyone. Like, I wouldn't say that he was evil. I mean, come on. Printing out
just
private text messages
valor.
And...
Stolen valor. All I have to say is stolen valor. We know who the worst person in this story is. Okay, go ahead.
True. Thomas Montgomery.
Mary.
Thomas Montgomery was charged and pleaded guilty to the murder of Brian Barrett and sentenced to 20 years in prison. He has appealed the ruling, claiming his confession was made under duress. With the amount of evidence against him, it's highly unlikely he will be hitting the online chat rooms anytime soon.
Mary Sheeler. Now? Mary Sheeler never faced any charges for her role in the saga of Tall Hot Blonde and Marine Sniper. This is a fact that did not go over well for the parents of Brian Barrett.
Barrett.
The couple has been trying since 2008 to petition for a law that would essentially criminalize catfishing. As of now, no legislation has passed for catfishing specifically,
yeah,
but you can be charged for facilitating,
I think, it's
or,
like
or being a part
instigating or
instigating.
Or like
it's like being the driver when you rob a bank. Just because you didn't go in the bank, you still
yes,
get charged.
Yes, and you won't be like, you know, you'll get manslaughter, you'll get accessory, you'll get things like this, but at least you will get jail time for yeah. being, whether it's text or whatever.
Can we talk about what's important? Are they talking now?
Who?
The lovers.
No, oh, okay. So I actually...
Like letters and stuff?
So he was sentenced to 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So he pleaded guilty.
He'll be out in like
4 years.
He
tried to take that back.
Yeah,
right?
tried to appeal
saying
it.
Saying that he in his appeals.
And he didn't actually know that Tall Hot Blonde was actually Mary Sheeler until after he was already arrested, like after he was already in jail.
Oh, they said when they told him, the blood drained from his face and he was the color of the white wall. I mean,
I bet.
Because what are the things that are going through your mind at that point? It was all
for nothing. Didn't exist,
right? So it's
for
like
a 45-year-old woman. Jesus Christ!
I hope they're
if he had
each other
gone
right
to
now.
Jail, being like, I just was in love with this girl, and I was trying, you know, all these things happened because
crime
of this.
Crime of passion.
You can at least be like, man, I fucked up for this person. But when it turns into nothing.
That's insane.
All killed somebody
and you're
for
you're in 20 jail now? Years yeah, for no, you lost everything.
For a fake person.
You lost fucking cool ass Cindy that was fucking down for your shit.
Yep.
Your kids, your
same
whatever.
With you,
so
with that limp noodle.
Also with Mary, divorced, obviously, and then her kid cut off her daughter, Jessie, cut off all communication with her to this day, obviously.
Yeah, same
the
thing
fact
happened
that
with
she went,
Thomas also. Both of his daughters refused to talk to him. They specifically said openly that they're not going to visit him in prison.
And even if you do feel bad and even if you do understand it, it's like you just can't.
I don't feel bad.
You can't
him.
Do it. But you don't
do,
feel bad for him
I don't
him
feel
at
bad
all?
For them at all, but I do hope that they're writing letters to each other now and are still in love. I do.
Actual Jesse?
Yeah,
or the
real
mom?
Ones are talking to each other from prison.
Okay, so
actual
Mary.
Jesse.
No, Mary and Tom.
Oh, Mary and Tom.
Okay.
Yeah, Mary,
they,
I hope
they
Mary and Tom.
Deserve each other.
Exactly.
He's out in like 4 years. Maybe they can actually have a real relationship.
Oh my God, is he getting out soon?
It was in 2005, so he'll be
holy
out
shit.
In next year. Yeah, he'll be out next year.
He'll be out within the next 2 to 3 years.
He's gonna,
updates coming.
Yeah, because I think it was midway through 2006 or towards the end of 2006
good behavior,
that
maybe
he was
he's
actually
already out.
Arrested. No, he's definitely not already out.
No,
he's
definitely
still
not
in
out.
Prison. The real monster of the story, Mary Sheeler, she's still free to
walk. He's
going to
be the one that picks him up from the prison.
You know, Joel just loves love, right? Yeah. He's just a lover of true love.
Yeah. I watched this documentary about Flat Earth, and it was
great.
Go.
Okay,
it was awful.
Then what'd you?
So I'll keep it short, but it was awful. But the two main people in it was like this guy who was they're batshit crazy, and there was this woman, and she was batshit crazy, and they would talk online all the time, and they only met like 3 or 4 times. And all I wanted, I watched the whole thing because they were like. They're perfect for each other. They need to fall in love because no one else will fall in love with these two. They're fucked.
A top for every pot.
Yeah,
huh?
it was Tom and Mary. It was the same story.
Tom and Mary.
But,
no, I
but there
know.
Was no murder.
The new Romeo and Juliet is Tom and Mary.
Yeah, but they didn't fall in love, and it made me so sad just like this. Fuck.
Well, I'm sorry to make you sad again. We wonder sometimes why you do the show. You're always so sad. And we're sorry.
I feel bad for everyone in this, except for Brian.
I know. And to the RPR audience, good afternoon. I guess have fun with your day. You can find us on our own feed for Crime Corner with Jesse Wiseman. We drop Wednesday at 8.
Yeah.
Eastern.
Wednesday, Texas time.
Wednesday, Texas time. No, Wednesday Eastern, 8 Eastern.
Oh, 8 Eastern.
And
7.
Then
okay,
Patreon, we still do a week early, Fridays. So this one's a little bit early for the, you know.
Yeah.
And you get access to the video.
Right. And we're sorry that we weren't Ross Patterson Revolution. But what you don't get on Ross Patterson Revolution... And you do get here is a possible
send it.
Prolapse.
There it is.
Our favorite. Our favorite genre.
That's how my parents fell in love.
Prolapsing.
That's when my stepdad knew she was the one.
Yep. My God, wouldn't you?